Welcome to the PyTech Solutions Podcast, where we bring you the latest in news and trends shaping the future of technology in regulated industries.
Thanks, Mike. It is great to be back in the studio. This week, we are turning the spotlight onto capital markets, and I will tell you, the pace of change in this space right now is unlike anything we have seen in a decade.
Absolutely, Laura. We are recording this in early May of 2026, and just look at the headlines. Tokenization is moving from pilot to production. 23-hour trading is on the runway. Agentic artificial intelligence is showing up in trading desks and compliance functions. And the regulators are actively trying to keep up with all of it.
That is a perfect setup. So let us start with the story that I think is the single biggest structural shift in the industry right now, and that is tokenization of securities. The Securities and Exchange Commission has officially cleared a path for tokenized securities. And the Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation pilot is expected to launch in the second half of this year.
And this is not a fringe experiment. The SEC approved Nasdaq's proposal to enable securities to trade on its exchange in tokenized form. That is a first for a major United States exchange. The New York Stock Exchange has announced plans to launch a tokenized alternative trading system, supporting 24/7 trading with instant settlement. We are watching the plumbing of the markets get rebuilt in real time.
And I want to underline something for our C-suite listeners. This is not just about cryptocurrency or about retail speculation. The federal bank regulatory agencies jointly issued guidance back in March of this year, clarifying the capital treatment of tokenized securities. So the prudential regulators are leaning in, not pulling back.
Right. And in 2025 alone, there were more than 18 digital bond issuances in public markets, all investment grade, with large asset managers and major United States banks already tokenizing money market funds. So the institutional adoption curve is steepening fast.
Mike, what does this mean operationally for a chief operating officer or a chief technology officer at a broker-dealer or an asset manager today?
It means three concrete things. First, your settlement architecture is about to change. Tokenization promises T+0 settlement, which collapses counterparty risk and frees up enormous amounts of working capital that is currently locked in collateral. Second, your reconciliation workforce shrinks dramatically because a shared distributed ledger is the single source of truth. And third, your data and compliance stack has to be ready to ingest blockchain-native data feeds, not just legacy FIX messages.
And there is a fascinating infrastructure story underneath all of this. Canton, the privacy-enabled blockchain network, exploded onto the scene this year with major institutional partnerships, including Nomura and Mizuho. The DTCC selected Canton as an initial supporting network for its tokenization service under the SEC's No Action Letter framework. So the rails are being laid right now.
Which is why we tell our clients, if you have not started a tokenization readiness assessment, you are already behind. The firms that win the next decade are the ones building the integration layer between traditional infrastructure and these new tokenized rails today, not in 2027.
Let us pivot to the second big shift, which is extended trading hours. Nasdaq is moving to 23 hours a day, 5 days a week, with a one-hour pause for maintenance and clearing. The New York Stock Exchange has already won preliminary SEC approval for a 22-hour trading day, and the DTCC is moving to round-the-clock clearing, with the National Securities Clearing Corporation operating from Sunday evening through Friday evening Eastern Time by mid-year.
This is one of those changes that sounds incremental but is actually radical. For more than a century, our markets have run on a 9:30 to 4 o'clock schedule. We have built our risk systems, our trading desks, our compliance reviews, our end-of-day net asset value calculations all around that calendar. Now we are about to operate in a near-continuous market.
And there has been real Wall Street pushback. Some firms have raised concerns about liquidity fragmentation in overnight sessions, about staffing costs, about the operational risk of running mission-critical systems with no maintenance window. These are legitimate concerns.
They are. But the train has left the station. Retail demand for around-the-clock trading is real. International investors want to participate during their own waking hours. And once one major exchange offers it, the others have to follow or lose order flow. So the question for executives is not whether to prepare, but how fast.
From a technology standpoint, what does 24/5 readiness actually require?
It requires a fundamentally different operating model. You need active-active data center architecture so you can patch and upgrade without downtime. You need observability tooling that runs continuously and surfaces issues before they become incidents. You need a follow-the-sun staffing model for trade support, surveillance, and incident response, and critically, you need to rethink your batch jobs. Most of our industry still runs overnight batch processes for risk calculations, regulatory reporting, and reconciliation. In a 23-hour world, batch is dead. Streaming is the only path forward.
That is a profound shift in how the back office is architected, and it ties directly into our third major theme today, which is artificial intelligence in capital markets. Mike, the regulatory backdrop here is intense.
It is. The SEC has made AI washing one of its top enforcement priorities for 2026. The Division of Examinations will scrutinize misleading claims about AI capabilities, and they are demanding that marketing materials, form ADV disclosures, and client communications accurately describe the extent, nature, and limitations of AI usage. Last year, the SEC charged a chief executive officer of a startup with making false statements about AI use when the company was actually relying on contract employees doing manual work.
So the message to executives is, do not overclaim. Be precise about what your models actually do and document everything.
Exactly. And the examination priorities go further. Firms have to demonstrate that they have implemented governance policies to monitor and supervise AI across trading, portfolio management, customer service, and compliance functions. And they have to maintain meaningful human oversight of material AI-driven decisions. The integration of AI into virtually every priority category signals that AI oversight is now table stakes for every examination going forward.
And then there is the agentic AI question, which is genuinely new territory. Agentic systems can take autonomous actions on behalf of a user. So the SEC is now wrestling with whether an autonomous agent that answers investor questions about fund performance is marketing or financial advice or something else entirely. The legal categories we built for the 1940s just do not map cleanly onto this technology.
And there's a fascinating risk paper that came out from academic researchers warning that AI trading systems could implicitly collude to fix prices and sideline human traders, undermining market competition and efficiency. Now, no one is saying that is happening at scale today, but as more execution flow gets routed through learning systems, the question of emergent collusive behavior becomes a real concern.
Which is why governance matters so much. Mike, when we sit down with C-suite leaders at banks, broker-dealers, and asset managers, what is the AI governance framework you recommend?
Three pillars. First, a model inventory. You cannot govern what you cannot see, and most firms have shadow AI usage scattered across business units. Second, a tiered risk framework. Not every model is equally consequential. A model that drafts marketing copy is different from a model that routes orders or sizes positions. Tier them and apply controls proportional to risk. Third, continuous validation. The old model risk management playbook of validate, at deployment, and review annually does not work for systems that learn continuously. You need real-time drift detection and a tight feedback loop with the second line of defense.
And let us not forget the cyber dimension. As more of the trade lifecycle moves on to distributed ledgers, and as more decisions move into AI systems, the attack surface changes dramatically. Smart contract vulnerabilities, prompt injection attacks, model poisoning. These are the new operational risks our industry has to learn to manage.
Absolutely, and I will close with this thought. Capital markets are entering a period that I think future historians will compare to the dematerialization of stock certificates in the 1970s, or the move to decimalization in the early 2000s. The combination of tokenization, near-continuous trading, and agentic AI is a once-in-a-generation reset of how markets work. The firms that come out on top will not be the ones with the biggest budgets. They will be the ones with the clearest strategy, the strongest governance, and the operational discipline to execute through the transition.
Beautifully said, Mike. And for our listeners, the practical takeaway is this. Get your tokenization readiness assessment done this quarter. Map your path to 24/5 operations and put a serious AI governance program in place before your next regulatory exam.
That is exactly right. And if any of those work streams sound daunting, that is precisely why our team at Pytech Solutions exists. We help executives in regulated industries translate this kind of transformational change into a clear, sequenced, executable program of work.
Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about PyTech solutions, visit our website at pytechsol.com. Thanks, and have a great day.